Dot com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight, everybody. Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those, wide open spaces, the flyover states that we love so much. Coming up, we're going to introduce you to a man who deserves the daily salute. Talking about high school dropout rates and how to combat them. What a program we're going to introduce you to that now is starting to gain some buzz all over the nation. But before we get into all of that on the political side of things, boy, oh boy, it's curtains for Governor Christie of New Jersey, although it's not a shock. We told you this several times here on ATN, and I don't think it's even a surprise to most insiders or most political reporters. His brother flat out said, the Governor Christie's brother said, he was never going to say that he was in the race, but suddenly it became a big story now twice. In the last couple of weeks, it was a big story, and it was a big story 6-7 months ago. So he's out. What does that mean for all the people who are left standing? I'll tell you what it means. A lot of the Christie money, the people who would back Chris Christie, will probably pump their money into the campaigns of Mitt Romney and maybe Herman Cain as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Ken Bassinet from Talk Radio News. He's covered politics in Washington for over 17 years, and he has some thoughts on Christie and the story and how big it became, and mainstream media and how, like lemmings, they kept following certain threads because it makes it interesting, right? So Perry has dropped dramatically in the polls, falling behind Romney, and a lot of that has to do with some troubled debates and a lot of questions about some of the things that have happened in the state of Texas. But there's no Chris Christie to worry about, so now Romney is turning a corner again. Perfect time for me to remind all of you listening to America Tonight that we're continuing to do our special straw poll, and I am proud to say that when I woke up this morning, I had 25 emails and a lot of passionate people out there flinging around their votes, who they would vote for in the next couple of weeks if they had to. So the numbers have changed a little bit. We will get to those numbers, I promise you. But also this hour, while I'm thinking about it, the great game of baseball is being played, heading toward the postseason, just like the politicians trying to get that Republican nomination, right? Somebody's trying to become world champ. So with baseball in mind, there are a lot of baseball movies that have been made over the years. The Bull Durhams, the Eight Men Out, A League of Their Own. I'm sure you can think of, I can probably think of about maybe 25. And, of course, Moneyball is out right now. It's been out for the past couple of weeks, starring Brad Pitt. Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood, who is the true insider when it comes to the background stories on movies and the whatnot, will join us at the tail end of the hour to talk about baseball and I guess our love affair with baseball and who does it right. Bull Durham certainly, I think, struck a chord with a lot of people, but then there have been some really lame baseball movies. And I don't think you can make another movie unless he's the manager or the general manager or the owner with Kevin Costner as a baseball player. Didn't seem like he kept popping up again and again and again. All right, on a sad note, when you go and visit our biggest city, New York City, you'll see a lot of choppers flying around, a lot of helicopters flying around, because a lot of them are sightseeing, and sometimes they're ferrying people back and forth and whatnot. And then, of course, you have the helicopters that are news helicopters, too. I had a friend in El Paso, Texas, who was in a helicopter accident where everyone died, and he crawled away from the scene somehow. He was injured. I have another, friend who is a traffic reporter. He was in a helicopter accident. He was lucky, just some bruises and bumps and stuff and scared to death. but he survived that crash. This one's sad. One person dead and a bunch of people in the hospital. It happened as the chopper just went right into New York's East River. And what happened was it was approaching a helipad for a landing. It killed the woman who was on board and injured four other people. It was a Bell 206 chopper, and the sole passenger was unable to escape, and as it sank, according to what everybody's saying. Take a listen to one description of the sad accident.
It looked like the pilot was kind of struggling.
Water.
Yeah.
And did he go in sideways or flat down?
Looked like he went over the pier and then he went into the water. It looked like it was floating upside down in the water.
Well, it helped some people. That's the good thing. You could see, and I saw this as it was unfolding, you could see workers were helping one person really close to the edge of the water where it happened. And four of the people were able to get out of the sunken helicopter, because that's what happened, by themselves. Finally, they did find the woman's body. They recovered her just before 5 o'clock, about an hour and 10 minutes after that crash. And from what we know, the helicopter was approaching for that landing, like I said, in the helipad. The pilot radioed that he was having problems just before it crashed into the river. And he was having trouble trying to keep the thing aloft and had tried to turn back but crashed into the water. That's all he could do. And sadly, once again, it's passengers who were visiting from outside the country. They think there were two British people living in Portugal, two others from Australia, and the helicopter originated in Linden, New Jersey, and so far they haven't released the names. But, you know, the great thing about New York is when something happens in the Hudson, I'm telling you, because there's so many boats, there's so many people alerted, that you had probably a dozen boats circling that area while a bunch of other people were on the shoreline gathering around trying to help any of the emergency workers. And the area that we're talking about was just outside of the Wall Street area, as I mentioned. So the bottom line is the helicopter boom went in. The cause seems like it could be mechanical. Was it an accident caused by a human error? Of course, the National Transportation Safety Board is on top of this, trying to investigate this crash to figure out, what happened. And I started to think about this, and I can remember when I lived back east that there were a couple of crashes, and people survived. But I guess that there have been, in the last 30 years, there have been at least, they say, 30 helicopter crashes. I mean, all different sorts, of course, and different things that have happened to the people on board, some of them surviving, others not as fortunate. So it's just one of those things that they're going to look into. And you sort of, when you're there, you take it for granted. It's just everyday life. You see the choppers in the air, and you're really not thinking about it too much. And a lot of people, like I said, take sightseeing helicopters, because what a way to fly over Manhattan and get a sense of what that city looks like from the air. All right, coming up on the flip side, we have our daily salute, and you're going to love this guy and what he does, taking cars and turning it into something that means an education for high school dropouts. Stay tuned. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold, and tell them Jason sent you.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. Why Ally C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, on those nooks and crannies in between. Today's daily salute goes to an organization that's making a huge difference when it comes to high school dropouts. It's called the Texas Can Academies, and a lot of other states are looking at doing a very similar thing. We're pleased to welcome to the show the CEO of that group, Richard Marquez. Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
The Texas Can Academies, as I said, 25 years, you've had how many kids? I think almost 5,000 kids, is that right, go to one of
no,
the 10?
It's more like over 12 to 15,000. We lose track. I mean, it's like if you figure 7,000 kids had some kind of touch with us last year, and then you figure the number of years, It's massive. Now, the number of kids who have graduated is in probably around 12,000 kids now from high school that we've graduated.
Wow. That's a big, big, big number. What's the idea for people who just heard me speak and I didn't give a great explanation of it? What happens at Texas Can Academies when you say don't write off, you know, write off the car, not the kid or boats, that kind of thing? How does it work?
Well, the money that, you know, when we sell a car, we use the money to help supplement the schools. We're charter schools in the state of Texas, and we have 10 campuses with about 4,000 students in them. And the state only provides for us about 70% of the funding they give the public schools. So we have to raise other funds to purchase our buildings, do our maintenance, and do any kind of supplemental things we need for the kids.
Wow. And what are you finding that you talked about the graduation rate and that kind of stuff. So this, does it pay strictly, does the money go strictly toward the students or the curriculum and the teachers as well? What happens with the funding?
It goes into our total budget, and then we use it for whatever the need is. And then we have supplemental budgets that we use for different things. A kid may need glasses. He may be homeless, and we need to put him up for a period of time. All kinds of simple little things that we take for granted. The kids need clothing. We've had some kids who lost a parent. We've helped with the burial costs. Anything that you can do for a kid to keep them in school, we try to do.
Yeah, and the statistics with high school dropouts is just absolutely off the charts, not just in Texas, but across the nation. And this is what Texas Can Academies is helping turn around. What is ultimately the goal?
Well, ultimately the goal is to expand to much larger size in Texas to provide more services for the students. You know, they're never going to put us out of business if they keep running schools the way they're running them. As a matter of fact, all they're going to do is cause us to get bigger and bigger. They really ought to learn some things from us in terms of what the kids really need. They need a good, solid reading curriculum and thinking. We have an excellent reading and thinking curriculum that leads everything that we do. We have one teacher for every 15 students. We have one social worker for every 90. We have a lot of interaction with these kids. When they come here, they begin to realize that somebody really cares about them. And even though they failed in the public school, they seem to be successful here with this kind of environment.
Yeah, and boy, wouldn't it be great, you're right, if people could learn from that. Overall, what is your budget? What is the budget that you need to raise? Because, of course, it's Texas Can Academies is a nonprofit. How much do you have to raise to educate these students statewide?
Well, the state gives us approximately $7,800 per kid. And then we figure it costs somewhere around $9,000 to really provide the kinds of things that the kids need. So all our fundraising and everything else that we do makes up a lot of the difference. Our CARS operation generates about close to $3 million a year. As a matter of fact, we're one of the only CAR donation sites that actually has a profit margin and gives money back to where it's supposed to.
Yeah, how about that? And it's clean under the hood, as they say, definitely. What's the most satisfying thing for you, Richard, about being the CEO of this group?
I've been a lifelong educator, and I was the advisor to the United States Secretary of Education, and my expertise was on dropout prevention. So working here is kind of like the perfect job for a guy like me who wants to help kids get through high school. So for me, it's extremely rewarding. We graduated 1,200 kids last year. And everywhere I've been, I have been successful in schools. So for me, I'm really loving this job and really enjoying what we're doing.
All right, well said. Great note to end on. Richard Marquez, CEO of Texas Can Academies. Continued success, and thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having us.
It would be good to add that kind of stuff in now and then here on America Tonight, because you know how I love the Daily Salute. You know, you look at the high school dropout rate in the U.S., and if more nonprofits could bubble up like the Texas Can Academies and be able to do and funnel the kind of money they can towards some of these kids and graduate them, what a difference that could make. We keep talking about education, at least certainly getting through high school. And you look at the dropout rates, and then a lot of the people who have gone on to get GEDs, at least something. But every single year, depending on the part of the country that we're talking about, those numbers, especially for the at-risk students, continue to go sky high. And somehow there has to be a way to close that gap. And especially now when you have nearly, 6.2 million students in the United States between the ages of 16 and 24 who dropped out of high school. And these are statistics going back just 2 years, because, you know, they have to roll them over every couple of years. I think that's, what, 16% of all the people in the United States in that age range for 2008. That's one of the reports that I looked at. And most of the dropouts were Hispanic or black. And some of this stuff I dug up at the Center for Labor Market Studies. It was something that they did at Northeastern University. And if there were other studies done, too, because I was trying to compare numbers and figure out just how widespread the program or how widespread the problem is, rather. And you have funding cutbacks. And that certainly has hurt the re-enrollment successes, you know, on the national level and in scope. And you're talking about Chicago and Los Angeles and California and Milwaukee, you know, Wisconsin, Portland, Oregon. And what happens is they have found out pretty much that when you have someone who left high school before earning a diploma, they're not dead-end dropouts, but often they're waiting for an opportunity to try to get back and finish high school. There were personal reasons or whatever the reasons were that they couldn't finish. A lot of times because they had to take on family burdens or whatever. So most of the successful programs are when you can have a small amount of students. And, of course, that's almost everywhere, the student-teacher ratio. And you have after-school programs and summer stuff and focusing on, you know, what they have to do to survive in the real world is another thing that sometimes is often thrown in there as they go back to get this degree. But it's all about getting that money. So it's the private sector. It's raising the money. That's why I say hats off to what they're doing at the CAN Academy, because they're doing such a fine job of it. And then they're seeing this track record and how it's gaining more and more steam, and the attendance is up and the graduations go up, and these kids realize what it means to get that chance to go back instead of ending up like one of the statistics that I just mentioned. When you say 16% in that age range, that is a very, very sad number. And with our unemployment number the way it is, 9.1 or even climbing higher, and then certainly underemployed, boy, how tough would it be if you don't at least have that high school diploma or some kind of equivalency? And I did a little test. I went through and looked at some jobs on some job sites, and almost every job that I saw, you had to have at least that. A lot of them, of course, were asking for college degrees, but it depended on the occupation. But even skilled labor and whatnot, they were absolutely asking for at least a high school diploma. So bravo to Richard Marquez and his group over there. That is our daily salute. Coming up, we're talking politics. Christie dumps out. What does it all mean? Find out next with the Baz.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by The Lost Vegas.
Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
Oh, yeah. This girl,
why don't woman... On 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Each and every show, as all of you know by now, here on America Tonight, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders, as I'm fond of saying, from Talk Radio News, the Baz. Ken Bazinet joins us now, right from the get-go. Ken, sorry about your Red Sox.
What? Why would you even...
Come on! I'm sorry, we had to tell you that, because we know that it was rough for you, and we were feeling for you. We were pulling for your team.
Mm.
Seriously, I'm a Philly fan, and I was pulling for you.
Mm.
You have no comments. All right. Suddenly, he's silent.
People lost their jobs, okay?
It's terrible.
Millionaires lost their jobs. It's very sad.
Yeah, don't worry about Terry Francona. He's fine.
on Thursday, we raised the Stanley Cup banner to the rafters of the new garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful tonic. The Patriots are back on track after a hiccup in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Core 3 will be back with the Boston Celtics. So it's all is not lost. I would like the Yankees to lose tonight, and I think it's happening. So.
Yeah, so we'll see and see if Motown City moves on, if Detroit does that or not. Just a typical Boston fan, you seg into the Stanley Cup banner. I love it. All right, let's go to Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor. What's the scoop with him? My sources told me he was going to be out anyway, so it's official, right?
It is official. We talked about it a week ago. I think he had just made the comment, at the Reagan Library. When this whole flaps, started up a couple of weeks ago, I should say. And he finally shut it down because it was getting way out of hand. He made a decision. He said that it was not wrong to say that he was reconsidering, but he never changed his mind. It was always no. And, this is all I will say because I think people in the mainstream media are downplaying this a little bit too much. Yes, he was recruited by Wall Street high rollers who are not happy with Romney and the rest of the field. However, it was a very convenient time for him to have this so-called reconsideration period, simply because not only did he have to speak at the Reagan Library, but he was doing a West Coast tour, a fundraising tour. So he was out there panhandling. And, Kate, as you can imagine, if you're panhandling as the governor of New Jersey, that's one thing. If you're panhandling as the governor of New Jersey, who is considering becoming a presidential candidate, that draws a different clientele, a different kind of donor into the mix, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I know what you mean.
So
yeah.
I think he was both opportunistic, you know, but also realistic. I mean, we have him on videotape saying, I'm not going to run because I'm not ready. As simple as that. That's a direct quote. That ad is explosive, you know, and there's a million other things you could do against him, but I think he had a serious deliberation period and was content with not changing his mind is the way that came out. And quite frankly, I think these so-called experts, political experts, who say that this is going to turn out to be his one and only chance, were only saying that to try and push him to get into the race. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And now that he's out, who does this help? Does this help Romney and Kaine?
Romney in a big way.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
You know, and the ABC, you know, there's a new poll out by ABC News and the Washington Post, and the flavor of the month is pretty much toast. Rick Perry has melted. We have Mitt Romney sitting atop the poll, 25%. Romney has bounced up and down, but never from a dangerous point where he wasn't in striking range. You know, the flavor of the month, whether it be Bachman or whether it be Perry, would surge, and Romney would drop. But then when, you know, the flaws were exposed, et cetera, Romney would move back to his perch. Well, that's the case here. The fact of the matter is that Perry has dropped 13 points, and he now has 16% support. What's really interesting is Kaine, on a 12-point bump upward, is also at 16%. So all of a sudden, I think you have Herman Kaine as a front runner in the Veep Stakes, the race beneath the race for vice president. I don't think he can win. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the table is set for him to win. I don't think he's going to win Iowa. I don't think he's going to win New Hampshire. I think that's a lock for Romney. And quite frankly, I don't think he can pull it out in a Republican primary in South Carolina. Probably the same goes for Florida, but he does make a ticket look very interesting, and it's quite obvious that people have given him a second look, that he's connecting with people. But the same reason that Perry has dropped, I believe, is the reason why Kaine has gone up, and that's the debates. Perry has been dismal in the debates.
Yeah.
Kaine has been really, you know, clear speaking. You know what he's talking about. He's entertaining. And, you know, he doesn't bumble all over the place.
Yeah.
Whereas Perry is just, he trips over syllable after syllable.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
and says things he can't take back.
Yeah, in this same poll, my man Ron Paul continues to be the only other, you know, person holding steady at 11%.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, just because his people do not bend. When they're with him, they're with him.
I agree.
So I think that, you know, the combination of Chris Christie saying, no, I'm not going to do this to myself and to my family. The time's not right. I don't feel it. You know, there's no fire in my belly, et cetera, et cetera. You know, combined with the fact that Perry is really in the middle of a really bad patch right now that I'm not sure he can rebound from. I mean, I don't see any signs of improvement. The only thing he has going for him is there's a nice break of several weeks until the next debate, and hopefully, you know, for his sake, he's going to get some schooling, you know,
maybe do
some prep, you know.
Yeah, and, I agree. What about Obama though? In that poll, that was the big news too. Come on.
Well, I mean, but it's generic, right? You're talking about the 55%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 55% of respondents say that they expect the Republican to win.
Yeah.
However, that Republican is a generic Republican. When you match Obama with each candidate, the only one who beats him is Romney, and it's only by a couple of points, so it's well within the margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a really an interesting dynamic. People are like saying, oh, yeah, I think the Republican is going to win. And then you go down the list of who's going to do it, and people have a tough time with that. You know?
Yeah. Do you think the Democrats though are worried? I mean, the Axelrod and Gibbs.
I know that they're worried, but they're worried for the right reasons, and they know that, and they're worried at the right time, 13 months out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's sort of like yesterday when the president said, "I'm the underdog."
Yes.
And I've always been an underdog.
Yes.
Not the underdog. He's a sitting president, okay? But why does why does he say he's the underdog? To light a fire under his
boot. Yep, exactly. That's what I said on the air.
Calculated. And we've seen this base language, this base building language. You and I have talked about it in the last few weeks. You know what I mean? It's Axelrod has made comments. You know what I mean? There's been movements, the way the president's been delivering speeches. It's all really all about base building. And quite frankly, if you're doing, or in his case, base rebuilding and fence mending, and if you're doing that this far out, boy, you could be in much better shape than people think when you get down the home stretch. Remember, in 2008, John McCain had to reach out to Sarah Palin for base building. And that was late August, early September. Boy, that is very late in the game to have to solidify things with your base voters, you know?
Yeah,
and I think the president is trying to do that now, you know? But I'll be honest with you. Here's everyone's homework assignment out there. Pay attention to my colleagues in the mainstream media. I will bet you dollars to donuts that they are going to once again embrace Perry for one simple reason: for fear of not having a race to report on. The media without a horse race election, you know, it's like apple pie without vanilla ice cream. It just doesn't work. You know?
Right, because they don't know where to go with it. They need the storyline. Yeah.
And Kate, just look at how they fawned all over Chris Christie. You know what I mean? It was the same thing. It was like, oh, my God, it was the Messiah was coming. The Republican Messiah was coming, you know? And it was really all about they had something to talk about in terms of a race, you know?
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is they will commit the same sit now with Perry, unless he just continues to bumble along. I mean, this latest thing with the hunting lodge.
Yeah. Oh, crazy.
Nobody really wants to address it, I've noticed. You know what I mean? I've talked to a couple of folks, you know, the conservatives.
They back away.
The conservatives that I've talked to today during my radio hits, they want to talk about it. The folks on the left don't want to talk about it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because I think it's because the whole N-word thing dancing around it, not even. I mean, look at.
See?
Yeah. I've said that on the air. We talked about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Because if it is, and it's a story. It would be a story, you know, what really happened. Okay, the father was painted over it, or they took it out, or whatever happened. And really, we don't even know the end of that story.
I was watching Ta-Nehisi Coates on one of the cables. He's an African-American brilliant writer with The Atlantic. And he was just basically saying, hey, people, say it. Say it, because we're talking about it in an academic, scholarly kind of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, don't be afraid to talk about it and that sort of thing. And I think that's good advice, especially coming from those quarters, from people who know the word in a hateful way on the receiving end.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I agree.
But
I agree.
He also made one other point which really stuck with me, which was if you look at how people are being quoted in the stories out of Texas, you're hearing a lot of people saying, look, it's what the name was. It's no big deal. And he made the point, don't tell me this is something from a long time ago when you have people saying it's no big deal. He said it means it still exists now.
That's right.
That's right. It's a very good point. I think that one is going to be one of the least discussed scandals, if you will, that is going to not ever get from around his neck, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that will always be in the backs of minds of intellectual, kind-hearted, wise Republicans, you know, the sort of the center-right Republican, if you will, the Northeastern breed, like Collins and Olympia Snow up in Maine, for instance, or even Scott Brown in Massachusetts. These are not Tea Party people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not going to get beyond it. We're out of time. The Baz, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Pleasure's all mine.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Well, if you've been watching the baseball playoffs, pretty exciting stuff as we get closer to the World Series. All of you know who listen to America Tonight that I'm a big baseball fan. There have been hundreds of baseball movies that have been made over the years, like 61, the Babe Ruth story, the Bad News Bears, the Bad News Bears Go to Japan, Angels in the Infield, Angels in the Outfield, The Fan. Oh, I like the movie The Fan. It's a little creepy. Freedom Park, It Happens Every Spring, The Rookie. We've talked about a bunch of this. Pride of the Yankees, Summer Catch. That's a weak kind of movie, but it's definitely rentable when it's like a buck. The Winning Season. And, of course, the big ones, Bull Durham. We mentioned that before. Stephen Shohat joins us each and every week here on America Tonight. He is truly a Hollywood insider, and he thought it'd be fun to talk about baseball movies, and I concur. He just saw Moneyball. I saw Moneyball. Stephen, what did you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I was thinking with Aaron Sorkin writing it how much it reminded me of the Social Network, where they're taking incidents of an event and trying to make a story about it. And you know, just like the Social Network, I don't know if everybody was totally happy with the way it turned out. I know Art Howe has been not very happy about how he was portrayed in the movie, that he was opposing everything that Billy Beane was trying to do. And obviously, Paul DePodesta, I mean, not happy, not letting himself being used in the movie with the Jonah Hill portrayal. But it was compelling. It was
interesting. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I thought so too. I thought Jonah Hill was actually really good in that movie. And I would give Brad Pitt, since I covered Bean in my baseball days, I'd give him pretty high marks for how he kind of deadpanned him. That's how he was when you talked to him. And he had that kind of methodical way about him, the way he moved around. He sort of seemed uncomfortable. That was Bean, and he nailed him, I think, pretty good. And the movie, though, has not made great money at the box office, but I don't think they thought they were going to smash all kinds of records.
No, but maybe we'll hear about it again at Oscar time. I mean, Aaron Sorkin was bought into that project a little bit late. They already had a screenplay. I mean, again, movies take so long to make a lot of the time. This project was started back in 2004 is when Sony bought it. Brad Pitt committed to it in 2007, and Steven Soderbergh was directing it, but he wanted to do a much more documentary style that the studio was not comfortable with, and so he was replaced, and then Aaron Sorkin came in to write it, and it had that same style, sort of, like I said, of The Social Network, where it's not the fastest moving thing ever, so that might be limiting its appeal somewhat. Who knows? I mean, who knows, why some movies catch on and some don't, but I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, what's your favorite baseball movie?
That's really hard to say. I love Bull Durham. I love the Bad News Bears. Even though the Bad News Bears, I'll tell you, I don't think it could be made the same way today. I mean, obviously they did a remake and calmed things down a little bit. I mean, when you watch it again, and I just did recently, it's pretty shocking how Walter Matthau sometimes treats the kids. I mean, he's calling them idiots. He has the scene where he throws beer in Tatum O'Neill's face. Well, one of the things that happened when they made that movie was Tatum O'Neill was the highest paid actress for any movie in history, and she had done her first movie, Paper Moon, basically by rote. The director Peter Bogdanovich would tell her, "This is how you're supposed to be feeling in this scene," and it wasn't like she was really capturing the emotion of the character on her own. It was a real guided performance. And now in this movie, The Bad News Bears, the director Michael Ritchie wanted the kids to act naturally as possible. He would say, "Act like your parents aren't around and you can say whatever you want." So the other kids in the movie were like New York trained actors and pretty skilled. And Tatum O'Neill was still kind of a novice. And Walter Matthau realized that to get the best performance out of her, he was going to have to have her react very strongly to what he was doing. And so there were scenes where he was just calm, and all of a sudden he just loses temper. And that got the shock reaction that they were looking for out of Tatum O'Neill. And it, of course, was very effective. But it's definitely not a politically correct movie.
No kidding. And it really did strike a chord, 35th anniversary, and there were a couple of others made. So people like the kids and the coach and all that sort of stuff, don't they?
Yeah. Can I tell you real quick, the real interesting thing about that movie was the writer was Bill Lancaster, and the Buttermaker character was actually based on Burt Lancaster, who was notoriously grumpy when he was making movies and also did a little bit of Little League coaching for Bill. And he just really tried to capture his personality. Now, of course, Burt Lancaster was he was a womanizer in real life, initially the Buttermaker character was going to be kind of doing that in the movie, but when they chose Walter Matthau, and it's hard to imagine anybody else doing it, of course he was a bit older, and they decided he's more of a guy who would like to be left alone, and sort of his beer and his cigars are his best friend, so they went in a different direction, and that was probably better because that made it stick to the baseball and not get sidetracked by any subplot.
Yeah, and we're going to keep doing this for the next couple of weeks through the baseball playoffs, by the way. Pride of the Yankees, how did that get made, and I hear it was big in its day.
Oh, it's a fantastic story. Well, of course, it was 1942, and Samuel Goldwyn, the producer, saw the newsreel of Lou Gehrig. Now, Goldwyn thought that baseball pictures were box office poison because you could go, I mean, why not just go pay to see a baseball game? But this Lou Gehrig story really moved him. He decided to buy the rights to it, and then he decided to put real New York Yankees into the movie. And there are all sorts of stories, and who knows if they're true, about Goldwyn not knowing anything about baseball. Like somebody said that he thought that Gehrig was a first baseman and that was the best you could be, and second baseman and third baseman were second rate. So he told the agent negotiating for the Yankee players, you're robbing me. I'm not going to pay so much for a third baseman. And of course, the big thing about that movie, besides getting Gary Cooper and Teresa Wright, was having Babe Ruth in the movie. And it was, Babe Ruth got sick during the making of that movie. He lost a lot of weight, but you'd never know it. I mean, if you watch it, he's really seems happy to be there. And one of the things that the director did, Sam Wood, he did like 20 takes with the baseball players. So at first they were a little bit nervous, but take after take after take, they started being rather than acting. And most film critics think it's Babe Ruth, who had come to Hollywood a couple of times and been in some movies. They think it's his best performance ever. And Gary Cooper never played baseball, was never interested in baseball, but Eleanor Gehrig really wanted him in the movie, and so he found it very hard to turn down. And they had all sorts of problems, like he was right-handed, and of course, you know, Lou Gehrig was a southpaw, and so they had him run to third base a couple of times. But overall, even though there were complaints about Gary Cooper, he was 42 years old, and he's playing Lou Gehrig as a young man at Columbia University. Overall, you know, it went over very well. I mean, it was the biggest hit that Sam Goldwyn had up until that time. And one nice thing for Gary Cooper, he was, when he went to entertain troops during the Second World War, I mean, he really couldn't sing or dance or anything like that, but the one thing he could do was recite I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth speech, or I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth, and he brought many, many soldiers to tears reciting that speech.
Yeah, boy. Next week, we'll talk about a couple more movies. Perfect place to end this on. And, of course, Stephen Shohead. Pick up his book, Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Kate.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's fun to talk. I think it's fun to talk about baseball movies because there have been some real bombs, but there have been some that really have struck at the heartstrings of a lot of people. And we're going to talk about a couple more next week and the week after that. Kind of marrying that up, if you will, with the baseball playoffs. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net. Click on the email and bada bing, you're in.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
Boy, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Is this a business decision, or is it personal?
Because if it's business,
I'll go away happily.
But if it's personal,
I'll go away.
But I won't be happy.
It's personal.